This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we'll be hearing from Hope Hand about the latest news in para dressage, and Sarah Geike will have a training tip for us later on in the program. But first, the USDF has announced that the 2015 PM delegate election results are now available on the website. The elected PM delegates serve a one-year term from the time they are elected in 2015 through to the next election in 2016. PM delegates represent the interests of all USDF participating members within their respective region. On the USDF Board of Governors, the PM delegates vote on governance issues on the BOG General Assembly held at the Adequan USDF annual conventions, as well as other governance issues that may arise throughout the year. Hope Hand is chair of the United States Equestrian Federation's Para Equestrian High Performance Committee, and she's also a member of their Para Equestrian Technical Committee. And she joins us now to bring us the latest news and developments in the world of para dressage. Hope, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for inviting me today.
There have been lots of developments in the para world, Hope, not least of all competing as part of the North America Junior and Young Rider Championships recently, which was a brand new opportunity, wasn't it?
It was just fantastic. We're still coming down from a high. It was such a great experience for our young riders. This competition has really been for over 10 years, believe it or not. It's such a prestigious event to get all the disciplines in that there's waiting lists. And we actually, many years ago, with Howard Simpson, one of our USEF board members, kind of paved the way for us to do a really nice demo at the Kentucky Horse Park with Jonathan Wentz and Sidney Collier, which really started opening up people's minds and visions that they really wanted to see more of the para dressage discipline.
This was very welcome for you then, a milestone in the sport in this country.
It really was, Chris, and it's good timing because our discipline is relatively new compared to, you know, able-bodied dressage, eventing, show jumping. We are Paralympic discipline, so we do follow the FEI and the USOC to the Olympics, same venues and everything else. So the Young Rider program is almost, in a way, a junior Olympic. It gives them all the experiences like a mini wag, and, you know, these young people doing the press conferences afterwards, and it was really interesting. Day one, they're a little shy, but by the third press conference after their third day, they were just blossoming and just really expressing themselves well, and they really represented us well. It was a great team. It was an added bonus that the U.S. won. Canada was our only other competitor, and they're great competitors. They're friends of ours. They're our neighbor, and they gave us a good competition. It wasn't easy, so we kind of battled for that win.
Talk about the grades that were represented and the riders that stood out for you, Hope.
Well, it was really a first for our 1B rider, Cambry Kaler, and I don't know if you have much background on her, but this was her first CDI big international event. She's an up-and-coming star. She had, at the same time that we were competing, she's also a vaulting coach. So they had a major competition in Denver, Colorado, going on at the same time where our discipline director, Maureen Johnson, attended. So she was trying to coach her young kids over the phone at the same time, you know, going through all the pressures of her first international event. And what really surprised us, because we really have not seen her in action that much other than, you know, her debut in California earlier in the month, she actually got the gold medal in the freestyle division. So it was quite exciting for her. It was exciting for us to see some of these new young riders. In addition to Cambry Taylor, we had Kate Shoemaker making her young rider debut as a participant. From what I understand, prior to Tara, she was quite involved in riding able-bodied young rider previously in the previous years. So she was quite seasoned and was kind of our ringleader, you know, with like uniforms, you know, how they design their polos and their golf carts and all. So it was nice to have that experience. And then we had our veteran who happened to be our youngest, Sydney Collier. She's 17 years old, representing us. And, you know, Sydney and her poodle Journey are quite famous, great ambassadors. She had a banner 2014 year winning the Youth Sportsmanship Award, USEF. And Against All Odds Award from the FEI, which is quite prestigious all over the world. So they flew, I think it was Qatar, crazy country, far away to receive that award. So we were so proud to have her as a mentor, knowing all about international competition because of her experience at WEG.
There are some wonderful ambassadors in Para right now, aren't there, as you say, the ones you mentioned there, and a lot of up-and-coming talent as well, which can be showcased at the Young Rider Championships. So what could we look forward to next year, then, in terms of numbers?
Well, I'm hoping we generated quite a fan club. We got a lot of positive press from this, which was quite, you know, unbelievable. Chris, Sydney happened to come in with Region 8 riders. I think they were show jumpers, the kids. And they befriended her, and they rallied the troops and fans, and we had quite a crowd watching us. So when I got home, I was really, it was unbelievable. I was getting phone calls from new riders and parents saying, how do we get involved? You know, my daughter, my son are involved with horses. They have a disability, but they'd like to get into the competition. And so it's exciting that we're going to have some new riders to develop, you know, so we constantly have this pipeline going forward. And fortunately, Sydney's only 17, so we have a couple more years where she can be our mentor and leader and encourage more riders in the pipeline, because they are our future. They're our future stars that will carry us through to the Paralympics.
The Young Rider Championships could become one of your flagship events then, couldn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I see it expanding into other disciplines, and I don't know if you've been up on the news, but Raining has done quite a few demos, and that's becoming very popular with the paras. So they're branching out Para Raining. We do have show jumping. It's more in Europe right now, but I'm constantly getting nagged about putting on an event for para show jumping. So you're gonna see these paras trickling in, I think, in the future, and building more teams.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the new USDF Para Award across all the grades. I mean, that is another significant step forward for paras, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that starts in 2016, and that will be an award which, as you know, will recognize purely on their para FEI test throughout the year. And they will be added to the USDF convention and the awards program. So we're quite excited. I believe Adequan is sponsoring this event. So they've been so supportive. Alan Mann was wonderful. He was at every award ceremony at Young Riders. So see him everywhere. So I don't know how they do this, but he's so supportive of our equestrian ventures throughout all the disciplines. So we really appreciate having that opportunity. And this is just really going to help build the sport and the numbers and bring more people into para dressage and more people involved with horses and horse sports. And I think we're trying to do that, you know, across the board, but there's so many opportunities, like you realize, that are just so beneficial, especially for the rider with disabilities.
Lots to look forward to next year, Hope, then, with the growth of the Young Rider program for paras and for this new award, and of course being a Paralympic year as well.
And we also coming up in late October, we are having, for the first time, the East Coast, West Coast riders all meeting for the national championship. So it's going to be quite an event, and it's a great opportunity for any of the new power riders or anybody out there that's interested in seeing, you know, a variety of the grades and the top riders. At this event, I invite people out to come see us, and it'll be a great opportunity. So I expect a full show at the national championship.
And you, of course, are involved in several committees, not least of all the USEF's Para-Equestrian High Performance Committee, where you're the chair, and you're also a member of the USEF's Para-Equestrian Technical Committee. Are there any other developments that you'd like to share with us from the work that you're doing on those committees, Hope?
Now, we're always involved with, you know, the technical committee approving the competitions, the CDIs that we have stateside, and we're looking for new opportunities and venues and show managers to get involved to bring us on. We typically like to hold a CPDI 3-star, which is the qualifying event for the World Equestrian Games and the Paralympics. We like to piggyback off of able-bodied CDI, which makes it a lot more affordable and feasible for both show management and the paras involved. So we're looking at new venues all the time, and so that's an ongoing project. Also, what is very interesting, I don't know if you've heard the rumor about centers of excellence. This is a real hot topic, and it will be rolled out before the end of the year. We are issuing, applications will be going out to the public to top dressage centers or colleges or facilities that would meet the centers of excellence criteria. So the criteria will be rolled out within the next month or so for these centers to get involved to give riders the opportunity to train on quality horses with resident instructors, dressage instructors, to make it globally more, you know, logistically friendly. So we're so spread out in the United States, and our riders are so spread out that they would be able to go to these centers and get some quality clinics or quality training. And then when we do meet at these big championships, we'll be that much more prepared. That's something that I'm really looking forward to getting underway and identifying these participants.
Great news and lots developing in the para world. Hope, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing this with us.
Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure. Stay well and enjoy your horses.
And joining us now for our tip this week is FEI four-star judge and instructor trainer examiner Sarah Geike. Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. This is really fresh in my mind. The shows I've judged recently, I've seen this happen, and it bothers me because people are just losing points left and right by the way in which they are attempting to ride the stretchy circle. The stretchy circle is done at the training first levels, and it involves letting the horse chew the reins out of the hands. Many, many people attempt to ride this when they get to the letter where the circle and the stretch is supposed to begin, they immediately make their hands go very wide and they push them down low. That is the absolute wrong thing to do. All right, that will have a very negative effect on your horse's ability to stretch and will not give you the result that you're hoping for. So I discourage people from doing that. When you think about what it is you need to show in the stretchy circle, it will be clear to you that it doesn't make sense to widen and lower your hands. The whole purpose of doing the stretchy circle is to demonstrate, to test the horse's training to see that he accepts the correct contact and connection. That's it. So the elements of the connection and being able to do the stretchy circle are having the correct quality rhythm, having enough suppleness in the horse's body so that he can thirdly have a correct contact, meaning that he accepts the bit with a soft pull and a soft jaw, and the rider is able to establish an elastic feel with the horse's mouth. So that's the contact that we're looking for. And then in the stretchy circle, it is designed to show that when the rider invites the horse to take the reins out of the hands, the horse easily and readily stretches across this whole top line outward and downward towards the longer contact. That's what should happen. So in reality, when the horse does the stretchy circle, the trot should not change. The rhythm, the energy, the balance should all stay exactly the same. The horse should maintain a connection in his body from his hind legs to his back to the bit. All right, the rider should have maintain his own connection to the horse and to the horse's hind legs. So what the horse does in his back is extremely important aspect of doing a quality stretchy circle. All right, if you can envision a horse that is moving in a nice, forward, energetic, balanced trot, the rider invites the horse to stretch. The horse makes his neck go out and down, but he keeps he keeps his balance so that he maintains that slight feeling of the shoulders being up. He keeps his back soft and swinging and bent up, and the hind legs stay active. That's the picture we're after. So if you can envision that picture, it should start to make sense that if the rider tries to begin the stretchy circle by just throwing the reins at the horse and pushing their hands down, by doing that, you completely put the horse on the forehand. You completely lose the whole contact and connection ideas. You've already defeated yourself. So then I guess the big question is, what do we do? What can the rider do to develop a correct stretch? And this is my suggestion for people to think about. To develop in your horse the understanding of how to stretch over his top line into a longer lower contact, but to maintain connection and balance, think about the suppleness aspect. Think about, number one, lateral suppleness, as in being able to bend the horse in both directions and have the horse respond to the bending aid by getting softer and rounder and more yielding in the pull and jaw on that side, and more yielding to the rider's inner leg by getting soft in the rib cage and stepping under with the inner hind leg. All right, so that's what should happen in bending. Bending aids are a very, very powerful way that we can develop stretching and invite our horse to chew the reins out of the hands. Many horses respond super well to that. The other aspect of suppleness that some horses also respond to is longitudinal suppleness, as in half halts. So that half halts made in this context of preparing the horse to chew the reins, the half halts would improve the balance and connection and get the horse more through his back, so that when the half halt goes through, so to speak, the rider can then yield the reins and the horse will automatically offer to lengthen his neck. So the stretching, the making the neck longer and go out and down, is a result of suppleness. Suppleness in the back, suppleness in the body, and the hind legs working energetically enough. So for most horses, we find it's often a combination of bending aids and getting the horse to accept the bending aids and yield to them. When the rider feels the horse yield to them, he gives a little rein, and then he would repeat that. Most horses, it's a combination of both bending and or half halts that we use to teach the horse to stretch. The important and probably the last piece of being successful at this is for the rider to understand how important it is to have the horse on your seat and on your back, to keep that connection there. That's kind of the glue that keeps it all together. This used to be a training tool, and then some years ago, chewing the reins was brought into the test, and it's certainly been a huge help for horses and riders and trainers. It's something to do on a daily basis at home, because it not only tests the correctness and suppleness of the connection, but it also can be used as a very good relaxation and release of the horse's muscles during the work session, during the workout. So it's something to use at home and not just to do for that darn test movement. So that's my advice.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Sarah, as always, for these very useful tips that you bring to us, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Chris.
And you can find more information on the topics that we cover here on the program on the website at usdf.org, and whilst you're there, be sure to check out all the latest educational resources on eTrack. And also on the website is a link to this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention, which takes place from December the 2nd through the 5th at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And finally, the USDF would like to remind you that the Great American Insurance Group USDF Regional Dressage Championships are fast approaching, so be sure to check the preliminary qualified horse and rider list on the website to verify if you've qualified to compete. And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, and follow along on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest news and updates from the USDF, which is your connection to the American dressage community. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. Goodbye for now.